All right, Jim, the big documentary on Netflix that is all the talk right now is Into the Manosphere.
Yes, I suffered through it.
A British, I believe, author and host, Louis Theroux, went into the world of these Red Pill Manosphere podcasters.
I'm going to actually stop you there. I think he picked an intentionally ridiculous sample. Yes. I think that, so to say that he like went into the manosphere is kind of like saying, you know, I went to the United States to sample restaurants in the United States. So I went to the Heart Attack Grill in Las Vegas and I went to Hooters in Tennessee. And then I went to a hot dog stand in New York City. And now I've learned what you can learn about cuisine in the United States. Like, no, you picked some deliberately ridiculous examples of something that are the most extreme versions in the absolutely like worst possible way.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that as well. And, and it's very much on display in this doc. Yeah. But you almost have to realize, like, I'm so chronically online and I see all these characters. But if you're just an average person on Netflix, this is probably your first introduction to this.
People are
going to
watch this
concept
and be like, oh my gosh, like, this is what the manosphere is. And look, this is like the idea of the manosphere and the red pill as the boogeyman. It's like the new thing. Like, it's, that's what adolescence was about. It's what all of these things were about. And we all love, listen, everybody loves a good villain. And wouldn't it be great if it was just like we could blame some movement? And, you know, this is why people like me and Chris Williamson and Scott Galloway have to clear our throats and do land acknowledgements for 10 minutes every time we say anything even vaguely supportive of any aspect of masculinity, because otherwise we get accused of being red pill. And actually today on his social media, somebody posted a thing saying, oh, Jim Sexton used to be good, but now he's red pill. Now he's red pill. And again, I know I didn't notice their presence and I didn't notice their absence. I'll be all right. But I have a fairly divine sense of self. My heart will go on without, you know, Karen 42615. But look, you know, it's super easy to just call anyone who says anything about men red pill. But that's really not true. And if you're talking about the concept of like people talking about masculinity as a key issue, meaning a key issue to them, not it's the most important issue in the world. I don't know that masculinity or femininity are the most important issues in the world. We've got like three wars going on right now, all of which probably could merit our attention. 500,000 people have been killed in the last month in one of them. So I feel like we could say that there's more to talk about in the world than gender roles in the United States at the moment. 4,000 children die of starvation per hour. Somebody might say, hey, that's more important than how we're hurting each other's feelings online. But it seems to be a very popular villain right now, the manosphere. If you want to talk about people who are talking about gender from an androcentric perspective, from an androcentric perspective, okay, meaning this is primarily from a men's perspective, you can break it into a bunch of different subcategories, just like you could feminism. You know, feminism was Gloria Steinem, Andrea Dworkin. They were two totally different forms of feminism. One was super anti-pornography. The other one was not. Like, there's a lot going in terms of radicals. There's radicals in almost every movement. So fundamentally, the manosphere, what he could have done was looked at the edges of the manosphere or the red pill space. Like, there are credible social scientists. There's Warren Farrell, PhD, who is a very credible scholar on issues related to men and masculinity. He wrote Father and Child Reunion. He wrote a bunch of other books about the male gender role. The Myth of Male Power is one of them. He was a man who in the 1970s and 1980s was appointed to the board of the National Organization of Women. Gloria Steinem, big fan, and blurbed his book, The Myth of Male Power. A gender critical thinker talking a lot about the male gender role and where, you know, there are issues in how we address masculinity, issues that if corrected would be helpful to women in the world as well and would be freeing to women in the same ways that feminism can be freeing to men when it frees us from rigid gender roles. But instead of looking at, okay, here's the intellectual fringe, and then over here we have someone like Andrew Tate or Sneeko or the people that
HS Tiki Taki.
Yeah, HS Tiki.
How do you create how do you take yourself seriously like making a documentary about HS Tiki Taki?
And then there are people that are like somewhere between those things, right? Like you have what, you know, we've referred to as the gentlemanosphere, which is me and Chris Williamson and Scott Galloway. Then you have people that are a little closer to the traditional red pill, like the godfather of the red pill himself, Rollo Tomasi, who I consider a friend and a colleague, even though we very often openly disagree with each other about things. He spent a lot of airtime on his show criticizing my perspectives. I've occasionally criticized his perspectives. As he says it, whenever he criticizes me, iron sharpens iron. We can still have a friendship and disagree with each other about certain things. Andrew Wilson from The Crucible, who was recently on Joe Rogan and a few other shows, and his wife, Rachel Wilson, a brilliant person. They're both really bright people. I disagree with them about a whole bunch of things, but we can agree on certain problems and that they exist. We might disagree on the solutions and how to go about it. We come from different faith backgrounds. We come from different life backgrounds. We come from different perspectives. But again, we have intelligent discourse. Mike Sartain, another very intelligent, thoughtful human being who does a lot of great thinking and writing about gender issues from a male perspective. You know, to go back to Rollo Tomasi, wrote a series of books called The Rational Male, which I think are some of the most intelligent books out there about male gender role and about traditional masculinity and femininity. Again, do I agree with everything he says in them? No. Do I agree? Do I think everything he says in it is written in the most artful, thoughtful way? No. Listen, anybody who talks online as much as I do or Rollo has or Mike has or anybody has, you're going to have a few ill-placed words here and there. Trust me, you can find stuff to make anybody sound a little bit silly or a little bit sexist if you want to, and if you have ill intentions and you want to distort their message. But the fact that Louis Theroux deliberately picked three or four absolutely clownish examples and then presented it like it was somehow indicative of the entire men's movement, it's just disingenuous. It's dishonest. It's misleading. And I hate when someone who's pretending to be a neutral documentarian who, you know, in all of the press is talking about, oh, he has three sons and he did this because of his three sons and he's looking out for his three sons. Bullshit. You. This is the same grift as anybody. You're looking to get views. You're looking to get paid. You're not looking to change the world in positive ways. If you were, you would have put a more balanced message out there. You would have had one, at least one person on the show talking credibly about the masculine archetypes, talking about the male gender role. Why didn't you have somebody like Scott Galloway, who just wrote a book about this? Have him on the show. Have Chris Williamson. By the way, you were on Chris Williamson's show promoting the documentary after you've released it. Why didn't you have Chris on the thing before? He's been talking about this stuff for years. You could have any number of people, but instead you put in hyperbolic extreme examples that, again, make for really good TV. Also, by the way, the people that he picked are extremely young. Mm-hmm. And they're people that just, again, they're young people. Like, who among us didn't think some dumb shit when you were in your 20s and even in your 30s? Like, that's, you know, and Louis Theroux's an adult like me. Like, he's probably close to my age, if not a little bit older. And by the way, there are so many ways you could frame masculinity and traditionally masculine activities. Like, have some people about Brazilian jiu-jitsu and why it's become so incredibly popular in the last 10 years. And it's still primarily a male-based activity, although there are a tremendous number of women now that really very much enjoy it and have been obviously part of the development of the sport all along. In terms of ratios, it still is more popular with men than women, but it's growing very much in popularity with women. But why not talk about some of the things out there that are positive masculinity that still are part of the manosphere? Again, this idea of the manosphere and making that the name for this villainous thing is just as bad as saying feminism. There's so much in the world of feminism, some of which is utterly toxic and very, very rigid in its gender definitions and very misandrist, and some of which is really about the liberation of all people from, you know, from oppressive aspects of gender roles, and really is something that we would all do well to be quiet and listen to, and is made up of people that are thoughtful and that are educated and have done real research. And then there are just people that are just talking shit, and all he did was focused on like three examples of absolutely extreme people that are just talking shit and part of like all kinds of grifts. So it really just isn't what it purports to be.
Well, he was doing exactly what those guys do, and that's try to make entertainment for the masses.
Yeah.
Like that's, these people are characters
yeah.
who have found a lane, found a grift that works yeah. and they ratchet it up to 100.
But see, if you, you know, and again, I'm going to, for your bingo cards out there for Better Call Sexton, Neil Postman, who was mm-hmm. my mentor at mm-hmm. NYU, his most popular work was a book called Amusing Ourselves to Death, Public Discourse in the Age of Television. It actually inspired Roger Waters to make an album called Amused to Death. But ultimately, what Neil was talking about in that book, which came out when television was becoming incredibly popular, was that when television is attempting to entertain you and admits that it's here to entertain you, it's not as dangerous. Mm-hmm. What's dangerous is when it's pretending to inform you, because it's not. The medium is the message. Like television, activity and conflict plays better on television. So the medium, television, is the message. It's going to lend itself not to intelligent, prolonged discourse. It's going to lend itself to quick cuts and action and crazy things. So if you have an hour and a half for a documentary, yes, of course, it's going to be more entertaining to put crazy ass people on the screen. Instead of having intelligent people like Warren Farrell sitting in an office at the university where they teach, having a discussion about research on outcomes of mental health in young men or women. Like, that's not as interesting. The Lincoln-Douglas debates took place over a span of like 5 days. And Lincoln got up and talked for 3 hours. Then Frederick Douglass got up and talked for 3 hours. And then there was a rebuttal period. And people literally rode on horses and walked to watch this because they felt it was their civic duty to make an informed decision. Now we do things like televised debates where we go, how would you solve the conflict with Israel and Palestine? You have 30 seconds to answer. And the only intelligent answer would be that is a problem and a conflict that has been gone on for so long and has such a myriad of causes and second order effects that even attempting to answer it in 30 seconds would be absolutely foolish. That's the only 30 second comment you could really make that makes sense. But instead saying, I believe life is precious. And again, that's all that anybody does now, is they just duck around and just find ways to not answer the question while seeming like they answered the question. And listen, as a trial lawyer, I'm a huge fan of people doing that. But what I will tell you is it doesn't make for good news. Like, you're watching that, just say, I'm watching some clowns. I'm watching the freak show. I'm watching the three people that Thoreau decided, oh yeah, I'm going to put those three people up because they're absolute clowns and I'm going to put them up and make them look silly. Don't think you actually watch something about the manosphere or the red pill space. That's not what you're seeing. You're seeing an extreme version of things. That's like saying, I watched a documentary about OnlyFans creators and I learned what I needed to know about the plight of women in the United States. That's absolutely ridiculous. No, it's an incredibly small subsection. And by the way, it's still an oversimplification at that point. So this is not a documentary. It's entertainment. Don't think you're learning anything from it other than the fact that, you know, Louis Thoreau was interested in making some money from Netflix. And God bless you, buddy. You got three sons to feed. All right, gang, I'm going to share something with you about a Sexton secret. And this is one of my secret weapons. One of my secret weapons. First time, but it's just us talking, so I can say this to you. Products by Soul, out of office gummies. I have to tell you, out of office THC and CBD gummies, I have been using these for years. I have been a subscriber for years. We actually approached them and said, hey, can we advertise your products? And I was thrilled when the team at Soul, a family business, said, yeah, get involved, Sexton Show. So we're here with you now with an offer code we're going to tell you about in a second. Sexton, 30% off on your first order of out of office. And I'm telling you, once you try these, you're going to try them again and again and be a subscriber just like I've been for years. Out of office THC CBD gummies let you control your experience. They have the singles. These are great for me on a Saturday afternoon after it's been a long week and I just want to chill. 1.5 milligrams of THC, 15 milligrams of CBD. When I have a trial the next day and I need a good night's sleep and I want something that's really going to bring me down, I go with the doubles myself. These are 3 milligrams of THC, 30 milligrams of CBD. Sometimes I'll take two of these if I really need to get some good sleep. When I say to you, what's great about out of office is you can control your experience. They give you the tools to do that. You start low, you start slow, and you figure out exactly what it is. And I have to tell you, after years of using these, I know exactly which experience I want and exactly what the recipe is for me to get it. So check out Out of Office Gummies. I really think you're going to love these. I know I absolutely do. Use offer code Sexton at the link below for 30% off of your first order.
It does seem, though, like what you just said, I think the public is catching on to. I think early on, sure, people were taking Andrew Tate and some of these guys seriously. Adults now know these are the circus freaks.
Yeah.
I think where people get concerned is these guys have a lot of young fans who see they're driving a Lamborghini. They say they make $5,000 a day and they f*** these girls. And there are kids who are like, that's my hero.
Yeah.
And I think that's where people get really uneasy about the red pill. And
these guys. And look, I don't think that that's not a legitimate cause for concern. Mm. I raised two sons in the internet age. And I will tell you, it's frightening out there. It's frightening to know that these are people holding themselves up as role models. These are people, by the way, your children reach an age where they're less interested in what you have to tell them and they're more interested in what their peers tell them is important. Mm-hmm. That's just the nature. That's been true since the beginning of time, where children eventually grow to a point where they want to be part of their peer group and they want to see what other people are doing and wearing and thinking. And that's what they start to, you know, they start to really lean towards and lean into. That's part of the middle school and high school years. You know, not everybody in their parenting journey has got there yet, but trust me, it's there. So what you have to try to hope is that you've instilled in them some basic logic and common sense and some critical thought, so they know that not all information is created equal. Look, guys, information has become a form of garbage. It comes at us from all directions, 24 hours a day, devoid of context, and all claiming to be the truth, some kind of objective truth. And in fact, all it is just an amalgam of points of view with one goal in mind, to colonize every single moment of your attention for the gain of people who don't care about you and want your money. So you really have to understand it's junk food. It is junk food for your brain. And again, I'm a fan of junk food. Just know that it's junk food and don't make it a staple of your diet. Make it something you eat on Saturday nights to celebrate the fact that the rest of the week you take good care of yourself and you feed yourself with nourishing things. Because I'm telling you, if you make this the main staple of your diet, this internet garbage, the main staple of your diet, you're going to die in a real way.
One of the big themes of this doc was the notion of one-sided monogamy. So this is Justin Waller explaining his one-way monogamous relationship to Louis Theroux.
Are you married?
No. I'm going to get a lot of smoke for this. I always do. Everybody gets mad at me when they ask me about my relationship.
Are you saying you're not in a monogamous relationship?
One-sided monogamy, yeah. Mm-hmm. Women don't want to sleep with other men when they love a man.
One-sided monogamy means what?
It means like, see, here we go. Here we go. Set me up. The mother of my children, the woman that I'm with, she doesn't talk to other men. So. Stings, huh? You seem upset by it. You seem upset by it. People get so upset with me about this.
So what I'll say is the following. One, the dynamics of people's sexual relationships within the context of their marriage or committed relationship where they have children together is none of Louis Theroux's f***ing business, right? What he does in his bedroom, what he enjoys doing in his bedroom, as long as it's with consenting adults and doesn't scare the horses, I don't fucking care what he does. It's nobody's business, okay? So the idea of one-way monogamy that Justin Waller is describing in this, okay, if it is imposed on someone somehow, right? I don't know exactly how that would work. Like if he's somehow forced her into one-way monogamy, like break up with him, divorce him. Like I'm a divorce lawyer. Like my job is undoing unhappy relationships. So you can leave a person. And this is a very wealthy guy, by the way, by every metric. He's spends a lot of time in the documentary, Louis Theroux, showing how much money this guy has. So the woman who has children with him could leave him and do quite well. If I was representing her, believe me, she'd walk out with like, you know, a couple of those Lambos and a lot of that money. So, and a significant amount of child support. So this is all good stuff, right? So again, she's there for a reason. She's in the relationship for a reason. He talks about how he and his wife or spouse or whatever you want to call her, that they have, you know, there was a period of time where they would have, you know, in the bedroom, they'd invite women together into the bedroom and they would have threesomes and things like that. Okay. Again, this is nobody's business but this couple, okay? And they're putting it out there. If they want to put it out there, great. People can be as public with their relationships or as private as they want to be. Here's what I would say. There's a framing of this that he's intentionally using, one-way monogamy, to make it look like this is like the Handmaid's Tale and these women are with these men and they're forced to be with these men and they're forced into this. First of all, none of these women are forced to be with any of these men. They've made the choices that they've made with these men. And if ladies, I don't think it's that shocking. I think most men, if they came home and said, I have decided I will no longer be monogamous with you, but you will remain monogamous to me, then most women would be like, excellent, go f*** yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, that would just not happen. It wouldn't fly, right? And if a man came home and made that pronouncement and you said, okay, I'm willing to agree to that, that is your choice. You have the right to make that choice. Again, is it my choice? Is it a choice that someone, other people might not support? Of course.
What you just described, there's actually a moment in the doc with Myron Gaines' girlfriend where she says exactly what you said. Yeah. He goes out with all these girls, but that's for one night, one time in the bedroom, but he comes home to me. Right. However, fast forward to, you know, 6 months when this documentary comes out, they have broken up.
Yep.
So as much as you're saying what you're saying makes sense and wouldn't it be great, is it just realistic in today's world that that will work?
I really don't know if it'll work. I haven't seen, look, I'm the wrong person to ask because I am not someone who subscribes to that relationship model. I tend to be monogamous and I'm prone to monogamy. And I tend to think that that's a relationship permutation that makes sense. But again, I'm not shaming anybody who's in a non-monogamous permutation of relationship. The other thing that I would say is that, you know, I think there are lots of reasons why relationships succeed and fail. So Myron's relationship may not have failed because of sexual issues related to monogamy. It could have been any number of other things. You know, there's a lot of things going on in people's lives that don't have to do what they're doing when it comes to sex. The other thing I would say when it comes to these sexual relationships and the way that people choose their sexual dynamics is, again, as long as it's above board and honest with each other, it's not being imposed on anybody. There are 8 billion people in the world. You can choose any one of them as your potential partner. You don't have to stay with any particular one. And the scene where they're talking about, you know, the idea that, yeah, of course he sleeps with those women, but then he comes home to me. I don't think that that's anything, you know, avant-garde. I think the idea of a wife and a gourmand has been around. Like, there's this idea that people would have a fling. We all agree there's a difference between a dalliance and like a long-term affair. A dalliance might just be, yeah, this person had a sexual urge and they acted on it. Whether they should have or shouldn't have is between the two people in the relationship. But, you know, that's different than someone saying, yeah, I want to leave my relationship because this person no longer satisfies me.
We'll wrap on this. I made a video about this documentary as well. And I said the same thing you did, that there are legitimate conversations to be had, but it's not with these guys.
Isn't it?
And I got a comment, someone saying, well, who is the right person to talk about these things? Would you ever, all these guys you just talked about,
yeah,
would you ever maybe talk to all them and compile it? Do you have any interest in trying to be the voice of reason?
Yeah, it's just what I need. It's another f***ing job.
Because you would be the right guy to do that, you know?
Yeah, I think that I happen to have a interesting relationship with the ecosystem of this. So I am friendly with people on the extreme side of the red pill space, and I am friendly with people on the extreme sides of the feminist space. I don't know a lot of people that have in the same month hung out with Rollo Tomasi, talked to Fresh and Fit, and hung out with Gloria Steinem.
You're the one. You're Neo, bro. You're the one.
I might be it. But what I will say is you could learn something from all of them. Mm-hmm. And it's something about the same topic. And by the way, they're all human beings. They all have individual lived experience. They all have things that have informed their beliefs, both things that they learned and things that they studied, and also life experience that they went through. You know, in the documentary, one of the things Lewis does very well is really talks about Justin Waller's childhood and his background, which is a very, very trauma-filled and difficult background. And, you know, Justin Waller is a very successful person having come from the roots of what he came from. And the same can be said about a lot of people that are in these spaces. And so I think fundamentally, yeah, it would be great if somebody could take the time to do something thoughtful. I think Lewis Theroux could have been that person. He could have done a thoughtful documentary on this. Here's the problem. The minute you say anything that is not right on the party line of the far of each thing, you're the bad guy. It's why I get pilloried now and I have so many people saying, oh, Jim's red pill, Jim's red pill, Jim's red pill, just dismissing any nuance of anything I have to say and putting me in the same category as, I guess, Andrew Tate. That's insane. It shows how wildly ignorant you are. But it's something that people do because we like to put people into little boxes rather than engage in good faith discussion and debate with them. It's easier. It's easier just to call someone a feminazi or call someone red pill than to engage in actual discourse with them about substantive arguments and the blind spots in their perspective and strawmanning and steelmanning the things they have to say. That requires intelligent discourse. It requires you to read a book once in a while. It requires that you actually engage in good faith debate and concede the possibility of your own error. But instead, what you could do is post your Instagram stories that someone's a red pill or someone's a feminazi. And that's a lot easier to do. It's a lot easier to do. It takes very low effort and it gets rewarded by lots of people saying, yes, queen, or saying, yeah, f- these bitches. And it's great. If you want our world to just continue to devolve into the unbelievable hellscape it's turning into, you are well on your way, ladies and gentlemen. Just keep knocking it out of the fucking park. That's going to do it for today's incredibly optimistic episode of Better Call Sexton. Remember to like, subscribe, and ideally not yourself before our next episode. Also go to sextonshow.com with any feedback. If you want to just call me red pill or a feminazi, I don't know. Just say whatever the you want to say. Make sure to go on Instagram at NYC Divorce Lawyer so you can see people call me whatever names they're calling me this week. But for now, we're adjourned.